I'd like to add something to what Pastor Harvey said when I told him that I would obey him. It's throughout my life, I have had a problem with submitting to authority. My husband knows that all too well. And but what God has been working on me, especially over the last 7 months, is that I need to be submissive to authority, and that includes my spiritual authority, which are Pastor Harvey and Pastor Sue. So I told God this morning when he said, actually, he's been talking to me since Tuesday about speaking, and I told him that if they said to speak, I will speak. If they say no, then I will not, because my job is to obey authority. God first, through the people he puts over us. Today, I shared with them today, and I shared this with my husband because he didn't know this either, but today is my birthday. It's my re-birthday. 17 years ago today, in a Nazarene church in Sacramento, California, I gave everything I have to Jesus, and I told him I couldn't do it anymore. He needed to take control because I was messing it up, and I wasn't able to do it anymore. And from that moment forward, even though I haven't been totally obedient to him all the time, I've had a hunger to know him, and I've walked away from him. I've said, yeah, Lord, okay, yeah, I know you want me to do that, but I'm really not going to do that right now because I don't want to. But, of course, he allows things to come into our lives to show us that we need to submit to him. It's all about submitting to his authority. So he's just, every time I get into the Word, he's just been opening it up. And Pastor Sue talked on Tuesday about our doors. What are our doors? What do we need to enter through? What do we need to go through to let God take us to the next level? And every time I hear a teaching from Sue or I get into the Word for myself, it's like he's tying it all together. Because I was studying Ephesians. We were doing that in women's meeting, and what Sue taught on Tuesday tied in with Ephesians. And then God told me to study Romans, and I've been studying Romans, and it tied into Romans. Well, this morning, Pastor Sue had called or emailed and had told the watchman that there was a warning that we needed to be alert. Didn't know why. She just felt that that's what's necessary. So I went before the Lord today after my prayer time, and I asked him to please reveal to me what it is that we need to be on alert for. Turn to 2 Chronicles 7. We're going to start in verse 12. Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7. So I asked God, and one of the things that Pastor Sue has said in either a Sunday teaching or an inner healing teaching is that when we as God's people ask him for something, then he gives us the thoughts. And so I asked him. I told him I would wait before him and I would write down what he told me. So I said, okay, what is it that we need to be watching for? What is it that, if it's your will, give me the specifics. The first thing that came to my mind was spirits. I said, what kind, Lord? Rebellion, stubbornness, anger, hatred. And I asked, who in? The outsiders or the church? He said, those in the church. These spirits are blocking the flow of my spirit. I want complete surrender of mind, body, soul, spirit, strength. I want lordship over every area of people's lives. And that's when I thought of the verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But then I felt like he wanted me to look at the entire portion from 12 through 22. So we're going to read that, and then I'll tell you what I feel he told me regarding this portion of scripture. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all the nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. What I feel that God has revealed to me, what he revealed to me this morning, is that God has chosen burning bush to himself for a house of sacrifice. He's chosen each one of you as well. This is speaking to the Israelites, which are God's people, but for us, it's the believers. He has chosen you to be a sacrifice to him. We are to sacrifice all things that block his flow in our lives. If God shuts up the heavens, it won't rain. He's the one who makes it rain. If he sends locusts to devour the land or pestilence among the people, it is for his purpose. Whatever happens in our lives is for his purpose, good or bad. He allows the bad into our life because there's something he needs to work out of us. He knows all. He allows all. We can accept that or we can run from it. There's no other choice. We either accept that he knows it and we believe what he's going to do for us, or we run from it and we don't accept it. We have the choice. We have the free will. But he says, if we who are called by his name, those who are saved, if we humble ourselves, that means let go of our pride, our stubbornness, our rebellion. I got to do it my way, but what about you? Humble ourselves and pray. It's not if pray, it's and pray. Seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. There are no options there. There are no options. Humble, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. He will not bless me or any one of his believers if we do not turn from our wicked ways. Then, he promises, then will I hear from heaven. He will hear from heaven when you do those things. And he will forgive your sin. And he will heal our land. Whatever that is keeping us from him, whatever it is that's keeping us from producing fruit for his kingdom, because that's what land is. It's about producing fruit. As a farmer, anybody who's a farmer in here, or anything we eat from Myers, it's because somebody grew it on their land. And that's what God wants to see in each one of us. He wants to see the fruit of his spirit living inside of us. Look at verse 15. He says his eyes are open. He's not asleep, ever. He is always watching, and his ears hear the prayers that are made here at Burning Bush. That whenever we make them here or whenever we make them in our homes, we do not want to pray lightly in his presence, in his holy temple. We don't want to get up and say words just because it's going to look good to someone else. We want to make sure that whatever we say to God is from our heart and that it's true, what we believe. He has chosen and set apart Burning Bush and those who truly, truly want to follow him, that his name may be here forever and that his eyes and his heart of love will be here perpetually, forever, ongoing through his people. That's what he wants. He wants us to love other people. I received for Christmas this really wonderful gift from my daughter. We didn't really have any family pictures up, and so she put this big picture thing together for me of all my kids. And she also put some really interesting words on there. And I want to repeat two of them that I thought were really appropriate for us as believers for God. One of them was from a guy named John Whitehead, and it said, "Children are the living messages we send to a time we will not see." So as God's children, we are living messages of his love to other people. Or we can be our message of hate to other people. If we are angry, if we get in their face about stuff, if we don't turn the other cheek, if we hold grudges, then we are showing the opposite. We are not in his love at that time. The other one, and I was really surprised about this when I saw who wrote it. This is from Abraham Lincoln. He says, "Love is the chain whereby to bind a child to his parents." I want to be chained to Christ. Amen. I want to be so bound with him that people see the Spirit of God living in me. Look at verse 17. "If thou wilt walk before me," we must walk before him. One of the really interesting people that I really love in the Bible is Enoch. Very short little verse about him, but he walked with God. And he walked with God after he had kids. He had his son, who whatever his name is. Harvey, do you know? Okay, he doesn't know. Methuselah? I think he was like 65 years old. He got saved, and for 300 years he walked with God. And then God took him. I want to be that close to him, that I am walking with him every single minute, every single breath of my life. So we must walk before the Lord and do all that he has commanded us to do. We need to observe his statutes, his judgments. Then will he establish the throne of his kingdom in our lives, in our hearts, in our families, in our marriages, in our church. But, verse 19, this is where the warning comes for God's people. "But if we turn away and forsake," give up, walk away, say, "I'm not going to do that, God," "from God and are not willing to obey what he sets before us, and if we worship other gods," drugs, alcohol, movies, TV, shopping, relationships, anything that takes the place of God in our lives and in our hearts, "then he will pluck us out of his land and his church, which has been set apart." We're set apart. But if we choose to walk in sinful ways and put things before God, he will turn from us. He will not sit there and bless us. He will not bring wonderful things into our life. We will experience garbage. And I know that from experience because it happened. Especially a couple of times in my life that were really, really difficult. And I ran from that, and I hid from that, and I didn't like God, and I didn't even trust him. But it's through those experiences that brought me into an ever deeper loving relationship with him, and have a faith that I know that whatever happens is for his purpose. Amen. And you're good. That's right. God will cast us away from his sight. And what came to my mind when I read that because a lot of people want to think, oh, but God is such a God of love. Yes, he is a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. And what came to my mind about that is the many, many ministers who we have heard of who say they love Christ, but yet have sin, hidden sin in their lives, and they have fallen, and they have fallen hard. And what has that sent to the world? Exactly what God said it would. Look at that verse down. It says, verse 21, and this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it. Do you think that the people who watched these big pastors fall because of hidden sin in their life, do you think they were astonished at what happened? And can you believe what happened to a man of God? Oh, look at him. He was a man of God. So what's all that Christian stuff all about? So that happens with us as well. Just because we're not preachers with a mega church, whatever we're doing in life, we are a representative just like that. And how we walk every day is a witness to other people of Jesus. We will be an example. People will be astonished at what happens to us. They will ask. And the answer will be, we forsook. We walked away. We gave up on God. A God who saved us. Think about the Israelites who were in bondage in Egypt. And God took them, sent Moses, took them out of Egypt, took them through this desert, took them through this Red Sea, provided food and water and all kinds of things, and yet they still were grumbling and complaining against him. God, who saved us, brought us out of the pit of where we were. We choose to hold on to stuff, other gods, worshiping them and serving them. If we do not get rid of the junk, we will not be able to live in the fullness of God's love. It is a daily choice. It is a daily dying. It is a daily taking up God's armor, which is in Ephesians 6, 10 through 24. It is letting God develop the strategy for fighting the enemy, not taking matters into our own hands. It has to be God who is in charge fully, completely, and 100%. We were studying Ephesians in the women's meeting. And what came to mind when we were studying the armor of God was that we are in a battle daily as believers. Yep. And it isn't just the big things. It's the little irritations. It's the little angers that come up when we, deal with things in our life that are hard. People, situations. And what God revealed to me when I was reading that is that the fight, the war, it's going to be bloody. It's not going to be pretty. Okay. But do we want to be the generals calling the battle plan, or do we want the master general calling the battle plan? I saw him as a general. He kind of looked like Custer, sort of. And he was in this big white tent, and there was this table, and there was this map, and he had his hands down like this, just studying that map. And I was the infantry man, and he told me, this is what I want you to do, and I obeyed him blindly. That's the thing. That's the key. We have to obey him without question. Just like Abraham. I thought about that when I was reading Romans, because God spoke to me about faith and about a measure of faith. And when we're just first saved, we have a little bit of faith. And God is the God, he's the one who gives us the faith to trust in him. And when we're first saved, we have a little bit of faith, and this is a little bit of faith. Okay, God, I don't like this. What's going on here? Why is this? Why isn't it happening to so-and-so? I am your child. Why? You said you would do this. Okay, I will. I'll do it. Right? Whatever you say. Yep. I'll do it. With each little step of faith, when you're first saved, your faith grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. until you get to a big measure of faith where you say, Lord, I don't like this. I don't want to do it. But I know that you're in charge. I know that it is for my purpose. I know it is for my good. And I will trust you. One of my favorite verses, Pastor Harvey can probably quote it better than me, but it's in Job when he says, though he slay me, yet I will praise him. No matter what he does, no matter what he allows into my life, I want to always, always be praising him for what he brings. The little faith versus the big faith. This is faith. This is what he revealed to me. Because, you know, when you just say little faith versus big faith, it's kind of hard for some people maybe to understand what you're talking about. But he brought Abraham to my mind. And, you know, Abraham didn't have Isaac until Abraham was quite old. But for a long time, he walked with God. And every step with God, it was a little faith. And every time he took a step with God and he trusted God, his faith got bigger. And his faith got bigger. Until the day God asked him to sacrifice his only son. And Abraham did it, blindly obeying God, even though it's not something he probably really wanted to do. But he knew that it was for a purpose. And he trusted God, that God would do something, whatever God was going to do. He knew God could raise Isaac if God chose to. And that's the difference between the big faith and the little faith, is the blind obedience unto God when he asks us to do something. I can do Romans. Thank you. You know, I prayed back there after you told me that. And I said, okay, God, if you really want me to do Romans, what I have, you need to change his heart and let him know. Let's turn to Romans 12. I only have a couple of five verses that I've been studying. I studied New Year's Day because I made a new New Year's resolution or something, because I'm very amazed at how Pastor Sue has all these journals that she knows where all her things are. So I told myself, okay, this year I'm going to start fresh and I'm going to make sure that I start keeping track of what I'm doing so that when he gives me a message, I can find it. Because so many times I have messages and I don't know where they are because I have so many things. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable meaning rational. So we must present all of us, our mind, body, soul, spirit, to God as a sacrifice, always willing to give up the world or anything else for him. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conformed means conforming oneself to the outer appearance or becoming like something, someone. The Word, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Scriptures is what renews my mind. It will prove what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. The Word of God will reveal the will of God. One of my Bible notes in here that I thought was really good said, even apparent or superficial conformity to the present world system or any accommodation to its way would be fatal to a Christian life. And I know that from personal experience because I love movies. I just really love them. But I can sit and I can watch 3 movies in a row and do nothing the rest of the day. But I know that if I do that, then I'm not spending time with God, and it interrupts my role as a mom, as a wife, as a friend. And so I have given up movies for a while. And since I've done that, God has been downloading stuff into me when I've been meeting with him on a regular basis. One of the reasons why it's so important to be consumed, like Sue has said before, and this is one of my favorite quotes by Smith Wigglesworth, I just love that name too, is to consume the Word until it consumes you. And when I think of that, I think of like a raging forest fire. Have you ever seen a forest fire? You know, that's how I want to be consumed by God's fire. But in Judges 16:20 and 1 Samuel 16:14, want to find Judges 16:20, and then Tom, can you find 1 Samuel 16:14? That's about Samson, who was chosen of God, who had mighty strength, but he let the wiles of a woman get to him. He gave in to those. She cut off his hair, which was a symbol of his strength, and the Lord departed from him. What God revealed to me through these two verses is that when we make choices that go against him, it diminishes our anointing. When I'm not filled with God, I am more susceptible to evil. When I'm not meeting with him on a regular basis in his word, when I'm not listening to music that's edifying, when I'm not talking God with people and sharing God, then I am more open to whatever the enemy's going to bring into my life that day to get me off track. And I just thought that was really interesting, because sometimes we think, it kind of works with the apparent or superficial conformity, because there are some things in life that, although they're okay, they're not beneficial for our spirit. And that's what I think the Lord is saying to me about this, is that even if it's okay, even if it's a choice that's okay, if it's not beneficial for what my call is, then I need to get rid of it. I need to kick it out and not indulge in that. Not indulge in that. Because every single person in here has a purpose. God made each one of us for a purpose. But the enemy has been lying to us from the beginning of time, and he has tried to destroy us from living in that purpose, because he knows that when we live in our calling, we are powerful in the Spirit of God. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's where he talked to me about the measure of faith that he gives to each one of us. He's the one that gives it. It's not something I can do on my own. I'm not to think that I'm better, or that I obtained a spiritual perfection. That's pride. And I do not need to depend on my own thoughts. I need to depend on God's thoughts about people, circumstances. As Pastor Harvey has said, do not believe what you think, feel, or see. Because that's probably the enemy working really hard at getting you off what God wants you to do. The definition of the word sober means right mind, to be of sound mind, sane, self-controlled, serious, moderate, sober-minded, restrained, disciplined, able to reason. It describes our behavior and attitude as we approach the ending of the age. That's from the Strong's Concordance. So we need to be sober about the things of God. We need to be sound mind. We need to be self-controlled, disciplined. We need to be able to reason. Sometimes we might need to restrain ourselves. I know that sometimes in our zeal, we want to tell people about Jesus, but sometimes maybe they're not at a place where they can hear it right away. So what does God want us to do? Just love him. Just like Buck. Just love him. Sometimes that can be hard to do, because when you see something in somebody else, it's usually something in you that isn't right. They're a mirror. It does. It takes God to love people. People can't love people. It's God has to love people through people. That's a tongue twister. God is the giver of faith, and he gives the measure needed to each person. A new Christian has a little faith, and as he or she walks with God, that faith will grow. A more mature Christian has a deeper faith because of the little faith steps along the way. And I remember when my late husband and I moved to Oklahoma. We left Sacramento, California, my home that I have known forever. And I left family and friends and went to a place that is the armpit of the world. It is nothing. There's 25,000 people. There's no one. You have to go there on purpose or people don't come and see you. And I remember moving there and being so lonely and so hurt. And I miss my family and I miss my friends and I miss my church because I had a great church and we couldn't find a church. We had all this religion around us. And I remember trying to go to sleep one night, crying on my pillow saying, I don't know what's going on, Lord. I don't know why, but I trust you. And I know that whatever's going to happen here, it's going to be for your purpose. And I will just trust you. And I would tell my late husband, nope, don't like it. Nope, don't like it. And I'm sure that was really hard for him because it was hard for him to have to change jobs. And I think that was a burden for him. And that was probably not the right thing for me to do. But and out of that experience, I have one of my very best friends in the whole world who I was able to show Jesus. And she today is a Christian because I was sent to Altus, Oklahoma. And her kids are Christians because I was sent to Altus, Oklahoma. So even in the hardships, even when we feel like we are so alone, we are in the pit of despair, God still has a purpose. Romans 12:4-5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, meaning function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So individually, we are one of another. On my conscious level, and I've heard Pastor Harvey speak about this, how, if you know, we are made up of different body parts. We have arms and legs, and they all work differently. And that's true of us as the body of Christ. We all have different purposes. We all have different calls, and we work together. But God revealed something absolutely phenomenal to me on Friday when I read this, because I have not been always diligent about walking in my gift. Actually, the truth is, I didn't really like this place when I first came here. I didn't really like Pastor Sue and Harvey either. It was very hard for me to come. And there was one point where I finally said, I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I need a sabbatical. And Pastor Harvey said, are you sure? I don't think that's God. I don't think you should be doing that. No. He was totally against it. But I'll tell you, from January of last year to April, God worked on me. And you are seeing the fruit today of what he did in that first 4 months of 2009. Amen. I am so thankful because it's all about God. And I know that when my husband and I would be irritating each other and he would be kind of rubbing me the wrong way. And I would say to him, you know what? It's not about you anymore. It's all about God. And that's what I want. I want God and nothing else. And I want to serve him and I want to praise him and I want to honor him and I want to glorify him every second of my waking moment, even in my sleeping moment, because he does give us dreams. But that's what my goal is. And that's what he has for every person in this room, every person who's a part of Burning Bush. You have a call. And the only way that God is going to get his way in this church is if we all submit to him and what our call is. Then will God's power explode in this place. Until that time, we're not going to get an explosion. We're going to get a trickle. We're going to get a little bit of here, a little bit. But I don't want just a little bit. I want an explosion of God's power here. Amen. And we need, first of all, you need to know that you're saved. Like Pastor Harvey has been saying every time he gets up, it's about Jesus. It's about salvation. You need to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. And then it's about growing in him on a regular basis, being submissive to him, reading his word, meeting with women's group, men's group, coming down to the coffee bar, serving others. If you go before God, he will tell you what your gift is. It is written, because Pastor Sue said it the other day, that for those who are called of God, who are saved, you ask God and he will give you the answer. He does not give his people wrong answers. It's in scripture, it is written, Pastor Harvey can tell us. If you ask your father for some food, some bread, is he going to give you a snake? No, he's not going to give you a snake. We as parents, if our children ask us for something that truly is needed for their edifying of their body or, you know, something they need like shelter, food, those types of things, are we going to deny them? No, we're not going to deny them. We're not going to deny them. And the Father won't deny you either. But you have to be committed to Jesus Christ, 100% wholly and completely. Amen.